The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This was not gentle. Nope. That certainly hurt. I do not like this. It was my first earthquake. I was a freshman in high school, and my family had just moved to the San Francisco Bay Area that year, and we lived in a house which, we were about to learn, was three blocks above a fault line. We always joked that if the big quake came, we'd have oceanfront property. It wasn't a particularly big earthquake, but nobody is expecting an earthquake at 4:10 in the morning, so it succeeded in startling everyone. I had been soundly asleep when I suddenly woke up because I had hit my head on the wall. There was a loud crash and a jolt, as if the whole house had been in a car accident. And the force of the earthquake had snapped me forward in my bed, smacking my head into the wall. It was not gentle, and it certainly hurt. I did not like it at all. Isaiah looks around and calls out to God. But he is not calling for some little earthquake that goes bump in the night. He is calling for the whole earth to shake, for the heavens and the earth to rupture, to erupt as if that ripping and shaking where a fire and the whole known universe were the tinder. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence as when fire kindles brushwood. This is how bad things are. People have forgotten the God who delivered them out of their turmoil and bondage. They no longer know what it means to worship God. People are detached from God. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. Sin is still very much all around us. And today, if we take a look around, we can see sin at work in the world. We can see people separated from God, closed off from their neighbors. We see the faithful persecuted, and we see those who make a mockery of God elevated to power. We have to have meetings about how to make our churches safer while we live in a culture where fewer and fewer people will even publicly admit that they believe in God. So when we hear Isaiah cry out to God that there is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, we know that what he was calling for then is the same thing that we are meant to call after now. Our cry is bound up with Isaiah's as we look at the world around and we are filled with sorrow. Because as much as we may want the trees and the wreaths and the garlands, we need to be honest with ourselves today that there is sin and suffering in this world. And that so long as it is there, this world is not what God truly intends for us. But the effect of our living in this world is that we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. And our efforts to spruce everything up so that we can feel happy, these are things which mask what is really going on around us. A temporary stopgap for our emotions, but so very far away from the fullness of what God wants for us. As we wait for Christ to come, we, like Isaiah, cannot help but look out at the world around us and lament. That is what this is. It is a cry to God in pain because we can see that His creation is no longer what He designed it to be. We look for Christ because in our moments of pain, we know that we too have sinned and that we need His presence. And we can know that when we look out and see that sin really is all around us, that is why we lift up our voices and call for our Savior to come. Come back. Come back and rend the heavens. Open them up and shake the whole earth until not a single thing that was a part of our sinful world is left standing. But when we ask for him to come and make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence, we need to know that it will not be gentle, and it is going to hurt. And every little bit of the old sinful Adam left inside us is not going to like it. This is our life in Christ. A life which believes and waits for the day when he will arrive, when he will come. That's from the Latin, adveni. His advent will be here, and he will judge the living and the dead, and the fullness of his kingdom will have no end. It is a life that just as it cries out in pain for Christ to return, it knows that there is hope even as the heavens open and the earth shakes, because we are still the work of God's hands. He is still going to mold us and shape us. We are meant to trust that he will not remember our iniquity for forever, because we are his people and we are meant to be with him in all his fullness. And it is there, in our looking for our Savior, that we understand that even when it is a cry of sorrow that leads us to call out to him, there is still hope, because he is the one who did awesome deeds that we did not expect, who came down and the mountains quaked and the whole earth shook when he descended to stop death's hold on us. And because when he rose, he did something that had never been done before, we know that a cry to him is a cry for something more, a cry for something totally different from anything that we have experienced or could imagine. Because our cry to him is a cry for a fullness of eternal life in him. And so we join with the prophet, calling out for the day when he will come again, knowing that our sorrow can turn to joy, because he has promised that he will return. And this is what we are looking forward to today. Amen.